What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Yanks of the Cop. We are here with our collaboration with Copish, joined by Callum Sanderson, recurring guest Callum Sanderson, we should be saying. We are here for the second leg preview for Real Madrid, Liverpool at Anfield. Liverpool are in a hole, down 3-1. We're going to need to conjure up some of that European magic at Anfield. But as always, we're your hosts, Steve, Wahomi, and Andrew. But fellas, let's get right into it. Callum, thanks for joining us, man. How you doing?
Not too bad. Absolute pleasure being back on. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure to have you.
Always a pleasure to have you. And I think the breaking news before we jump into it, well, homie's got a new jersey on. It's not the vintage one anymore. He's got the new kit.
The new kit.
Just
wow. He's changing it up.
I saw David Kopp.
Yeah.
Yeah, he posted, I think, like last week, like a discount on jerseys.
£30.
I'm straight in there.
Hey, it's nice, man.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah, nice on you. I like it.
I've got Marnie in the back, but he's been letting me down.
We got Wahomi with a new jersey. I got a haircut and shaved off the beard after that 3-1 performance last week. So hopefully we've got some new vibes. Hopefully some good things coming our way. Everyone in the chat, we appreciate you guys. Thank you. Leave your questions, comments, anything in there. We'll get to them for sure. But Callum, I just want to kick it off with you. How are you feeling after the first leg? And do you have any optimism coming into this one?
I do have optimism. I think last week we played about as bad as we could play. And dare I say, we're only 2 goals behind. Like, when you watch the game back, which I sadly did, we could have lost that game probably 5 or 6-1. Like, we were really, really poor. We didn't put any pressure on their midfield. Attacking-wise, we were toothless. Apart from 10 to 15 minutes in the second half, at the beginning of the second half, we weren't in that game at all. We are very, very fortunate to still be in with a shout of getting through this tie. So, I'm optimistic. Do I think we'll get through? That's the question we'll obviously answer later in the show, but I'm optimistic.
All right. That's a lot better than what Wahomi was after in the post-match. I don't know if I've heard that much negativity in my life. So, Wahomi, let's flip it over to you, my man. How are you feeling after that leg, but then also a win against Aston Villa?
After that leg, I was really disappointed. I'm not going to lie. I was kind of like gutted that we had played that bad. I went into that game like really optimistic, thinking that This isn't an amazing Madrid team. It's a good Madrid team. It's not an amazing one. And I was obviously surprised at how shocking and scared we looked in that game. Going into the game now, after I think the Villa win helped a lot because we needed to win Anfield before we played Madrid. So going into this game, I've got confidence, but I still think it's going to be. My only worry is, can we keep a clean sheet against this Madrid team?
That's my biggest concern too. But Andrew, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, before we got on live here, I was just saying that I'm actually pretty nervous for this one. I just to answer Wahomi's question, I'm not sure if we'll keep a clean sheet. I'm not sure, but I think this game is really going to come down to the first 30 minutes. I think it depends on how we come out. In the first game, in the first leg, we didn't come out well at all. We looked like we looked like Sheffield United this year in the Premier League. We looked absolutely atrocious, just giving the ball away. And to be honest, in that first 30 minutes, Madrid weren't playing very well either. We were just playing so poorly that whenever they misplaced a pass, we get it right back to them, and we are immediately on our heels. So I think it really just depends on how we come out, and that's been kind of the theme this season, is that we haven't come out well. We've relied on the second half, and sometimes we've been able to prevail, and sometimes we haven't. So I would just look to that. I'm curious what Klopp's lineup's going to be. We can get into that in a little bit. But, I'm nervous overall. We just need to put the ball in the back of the net. We didn't have any shots on target, no shots off target. I don't think we had any shots in general in the first half. So if we can change that, then we're already coming out ahead. So hopefully the fortunes will turn into our favor.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing for me was, despite how bad we played, if we just didn't gift them 2 goals, we'd be in a great position right now. Like, yeah, we play like absolute shit. There's no lie about that. But if Trent doesn't do that god-awful header backwards, right? You know, right to Vinicius going in, or was it Asensio, or whatever, whoever scored that goal. And then, you know, there were so many people at fault for that third goal as well. You know, you if Alisson stops it, if Phillips steps in, if Trent, you know, does better communication, we could be looking at one, you know, a 1-1, you know, draw coming into this. So that's the one thing that does give me hope. And now also looks like, too, with Madrid, I think they're going to be without Vasquez now, I think, as well. I think he's going to be out. Cruz and Valverde are even questionable. I'm sure they're both going to play. And it's going to be different with no fans at Anfield. I think if we had fans at Anfield, I'd be feeling a lot more confident. But in the end, I do have some optimism. Liverpool, this for me, when the backs are against the wall, this tends to be when we play our best. So I just want to see us, can we have a good response, just like we did with the Villa game. I thought we played well against Villa. Should have been a bigger scoreline on 2-1. I'm feeling pretty good about it. But, I mean, Real Madrid themselves, though, they're coming off a huge win. I think they beat Barcelona. So, I mean, what are your guys' thoughts on this game being played at Anfield with no crowd? I mean, obviously, it's going to be a huge factor. But, like, do you think Madrid's going to come in trying to put the game away? Or do you think they're going to kind of defend the lead? Callum, why don't you start us off? What do you think on that?
I'm probably going to get a lot of stick for saying what I'm about to say. I actually think.
For this, hold on.
I actually think having no crowd for this game might actually work out in our favour. Now, I know traditionally going back
to
Anfield. No, I know. Traditionally, taking us back to Anfield is where we usually finish teams off. However, I think this Real Madrid team will look to come and frustrate, time waste, especially in the first half, in my opinion. And I think when teams do that, the Anfield crowd actually works against us, because we become more and more frustrated, not just as a team, but the fans as well. And that frustration translates onto the pitch. I actually think by not having a crowd there, Real Madrid play acting and sort of wasting time, I think will probably help us, because the job at hand will still need to be done and there won't be those outside influences. I think the Barcelona game is such a different game, and the Atletico is such a different game, because it's different opposition. Real Madrid are probably the elite of the elite when it comes to Champions League European football, and they know how to navigate through this competition better than any other team. I just think by us not having a crowd, we can actually concentrate on the game plan, concentrate without being too emotional, and know that if we can get a goal without a reply, then the onus kind of goes on to Real Madrid to stick or twist, because if we go up 2-0, then they've got to come at us, and then we could really potentially tear them apart.
That is a pretty scorching hot take. Andrew, what are your thoughts on Callum's comments there? Do you think we might be a little better off without fans in there?
I think Liverpool, especially under Jurgen Klopp, their results have been detrimental to having fans in the stadium. You know, it's absolutely essential to have them in the stadium. Having said that, you know, I think that's a direct correlation to that with our season this year. I mean, yeah, we've had a lot of injuries, but we also haven't performed well in many different situations, where I think that if the fans were there, the situation might have been a little differently. The outcome might have been a little differently. But no, I mean, Callum's right. It comes down to what Jurgen Klopp said today in his press conference. He said that we need to motivate ourselves. Andy Robertson echoed that same sentiment. So I think that's kind of what we struggled with all year. And if they can't get up for this one at home to Real Madrid, the Champions League darlings of Europe, then there's something seriously wrong with this squad. I mean, yeah, Jurgen Klopp's a great motivator, but the players need to motivate themselves as well. And there's no excuse for that first 20 to 30 minutes when Real Madrid played us out of the park, and they were terrible as well. So, no, I agree with him in a sense, but I think that obviously I'd feel much more confident with fans in the stands.
Yeah, I think I'm going to echo something different, because I watched the Clásico and Madrid were very impressive against Barcelona. Like, Benzema ran Barcelona's defence ragged, and like, he looked really good. And that actually worried me, because I thought it was going to be a much more harder game for them in that Clásico. I thought Barca were going to push them much more harder. I thought Messi in that game wasn't as good in terms of his normal performances. So I thought Madrid were going to come into this game exhausted after a hard battle with Barcelona. But I think they've come into this game. I know Vasquez got injured, So I know they're gonna play Ralda, I think his name is at fullback instead. He's not really a full winger, but he's more of a midfielder. Fans, do I think we can do it without fans? I think we can, but I think it's gonna be imperative we get the first goal. Like for us, I think we're gonna have to score in the first 20 to 30 minutes. And if we don't score in that first 30 to 20 minutes, it could be a long night. So it's crazy if we start quickly and get the first goal early. Because if Madrid get that first goal, then I think it's going to mess with us against us without fans. So it depends on who gets that first goal for me. It's going to be crucial.
Yeah.
And I know Klopp's talking about us, we have to motivate ourselves. My only worry with that, we've heard that before. Like he said, we're going to fight for the title. And then we've gone into games Brighton, Fulham and been shocking. You know, so him saying that today, I want to actually see that on the pitch, the actual players saying it for themselves, you know, actually believing it. You know, even I'd even love for the players when the match starts to do like a little huddle to come together to say, look, we're going to do this together. You know, something just shows that, you know, they know they have to up themselves for this game.
Mm. Yeah, I think Jay Gee in the chat here makes a really good point. Thanks for coming in, Jay, as always. First game in a while, feeling different. Not sure what to expect after the first leg. Need intensity without mistakes earlier, though, to have a chance. And I think that's 100% it. You know, we got to hit the ground running, just like you said, Wahome. We need to put the pressure on them early. Let them know that this is not going to be a cakewalk. Because, hey, we get up 2-0, and all of a sudden it's a game. You know, it's a tie, and we have the away goal, and Madrid has to come out. And so I think whoever gets that first goal is going to dictate the entire match. We kind of said it about the first leg, too. But if Liverpool can go and just show them that they're not backing down, they still have a sense of belief, that's when Liverpool's a tough team to beat. So I really, really want to see that. But
I just want to add something real quick. Something I was just listening to the press conference with Jurgen and Robbo. And both of them said multiple times the word opportunity. And when we look at this season in general, we didn't, you know, with all the injuries, with all the setbacks, with COVID, no fans in the stands, we've had a pretty shit season. We really have. But yet we find ourselves with an opportunity in the Champions League quarterfinal to beat Real Madrid at home. We find ourselves with an opportunity to make top four still, even in this tough season. So I think the players need to look at that. The manager needs to understand that. And the fans especially need to understand that. We have a massive, massive opportunity in these last few weeks of Premier League football and Champions League football. And I hope we can capitalize them. And, you know, under Jurgen Klopp, this team has been able to overcome adversity such as this before. So, I am nervous, but I'm also very optimistic about this game.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point here. But just a shout out a couple of people in the chat. Jay Gee, again, we're doing well. Hope you're doing the same. Steven Stubbs, Mr. Consistency back again. We appreciate you, man. We'll have you on soon. Zane Talk Sports, if you want us fun, start an argument. Ask for homie when things are back to Phillips. She's absolutely spot on there. Anthony Metza, good evening. Not an LFC fan, but Leipzig fan. Love the channel content. Hey, that means a lot to us, man. Thank you so much. We really appreciate that. You're welcome here anytime. You know, anytime we talk Bundesliga, we'd love to have you on too. So we really, really appreciate you. And as always, another Mr. Consistency here, Chris Welch. Thanks for coming back, man. We really appreciate you guys. But you know, I kind of touched on it earlier, and Andrew, I think you made a good point too. Like the opportunity that we have, you know, with everything that's happened, but also too, I mean, we did play Aston Villa this weekend. You know, we beat them 2-1, late goal by Trent of all people. He put in a really good performance. I mean, Callum, do you think that the team can take anything from that to help build momentum going into this match, or do you think it's just kind of a one-off type of thing?
No, I think it's a momentum builder again. Not saying that we're gonna smash Real Madrid. I said that last week. Like, we're gonna deal with Real Madrid, and I'm still eating humble pie to this day. So I'm not saying that, but I don't think we can underestimate how big that performance result and that goal from Trent was. I think the goal and the performance from Trent will do him the world of good because that game against Real Madrid was really tough for him for a magnitude of reasons. I think the fact that we won that game ugly will help us because I can't remember the last time we won a game ugly. We either lost or we beat Arsenal, who just didn't turn up on a day and we just smashed them to bits. The Aston Villa team, they turned up to play. And although we wasted chances and it looked as though we were going to get a draw, we actually turned it over and it's what Liverpool did all last season. We turned draws into wins. So seeing that happen against a very good Aston Villa team, a very game Aston Villa team, I think will help the team going forward. I think it will be the catalyst for some good things for the rest of the season.
I completely agree. And I think, too, for Trent getting the goal of all people for the winner, huge bounce back performance from him after that poor showing against Madrid. And if he can play with some confidence, and if he and Robertson can get back to how they play and be really big contributors to our offense going forward, I think that could spell potential problems for Madrid. But Wahomi, what do you think on that? Do you think we can take anything from that game?
I think the main thing was we won Anfield. You know, obviously there are a lot of people who are criticizing the performance, saying that, you know, overall it was an amazing performance. But I think the weekend was just about getting 3 points and winning Anfield, because, you know, we'd obviously, our Anfield form had been shocking. You know, even our conversion ratio at Anfield's been shocking in 2021. I think we got the worst of the Premiership. So yeah, for us, it was just getting that, you know, getting those 3 points, you know, because obviously even like Villa are a very good team. You know, they've shown that this season, you know, even though they're missing a few players, they're still a very good team. Can we take something? Of course we can take that. You know, we've won without fans at Anfield. But I will say we're going to have to play a lot better than we did against Villa. You know, because, you know, Madrid is another kettle of fish completely. So we're going to have to up the level of performance in terms of, I would say, attacking defence going into that game. Because I still feel like our defender overall for the Villa goal wasn't very good in midfield or in defence. Mm-hmm. And obviously Alisson should have saved it. So we're going to have to defend a lot more better as a team collectively. And then I think we have to be more prolific up front. So, but we can take something from that win, because, like I said, it was a huge win without the fans at Anfield against a good Villa side. So we just have to be positive. That's it. And know that, you know, we are equal to Madrid. You know, we won Champions Leagues. We've beaten big teams before. Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Juventus, all those kind of teams. Just as big as Madrid. So we have to go into this game believing that we are equal to Madrid, rather than we're amazed by Madrid or we're in awe of them. And I think that's the massive thing. We went to Spain in awe of Madrid, rather than going in there and saying, actually, we're as good as Madrid. You know, mm-hmm. So we have to believe. That's what the key thing is. And Klopp has to get into it.
I think just to kind of echo what Callum said earlier on in the show, Madrid are going to line up to frustrate as well. You know, we've seen Atletico Madrid come to Anfield. They've done the same thing, and our players have responded to that negatively. You know, they have been frustrated, and you kind of saw that what happened with Trent and Vinicius Jr. in the first leg. I don't think Trent responded to that at all in a positive note. Obviously, we all saw what, you know, his reactions to some of the tackles, his reactions to some of the referee's whistles blown against him. So I think that that's going to be really detrimental to that right side as well. I think that he needs to keep his head. And I think that comes down to leadership in throughout the pitch. And my question to you guys is, and maybe you want to get to this later, I don't know what you guys want to do, but, you know, a lot of people have been mentioning on Twitter that maybe we should start James Milner in there, someone with a little more experience, somebody who can keep heads cool, keep the midfield in the proper shape. You know, Genie, I love Genie, but he's not the most vocal leader in the center of the park. Maybe this game in the first 5 minutes needs a hard tackle from James Milner and one of their midfielders like Luka Modric or somebody like that. That's kind of what we saw against Barcelona in that second leg a few years ago. So I guess that's my question for you guys. Would you guys start James Milner in this game? Would you just keep it with Thiago, Fabinho and Genie, or am I crazy?
I don't think you're crazy.
No, not crazy yeah. at all. I understand the logic, and to be honest, it depends on the form. So I'd go over 4-2-3-1. That's the only reason I wouldn't start Milner. If I was going 4-3-3, I would start Milner. My only worry for this game with Milner starting is that against technically superior teams in midfield, he can be found wanting a little bit, and he can be a bit sluggish to the ball and give away late fouls and fouls in bad areas. I would actually go 4-2-3-1. Do Fabinho and Thiago as a double pivot. And I'd have Bobby as a 10. And Bobby's main aim in this game for me would be to make sure Cruz doesn't get any time on the ball. That would be, and anything going forward, you do your thing. But the moment Cruz gets the ball, you need to be standing right next to him. And you make sure he doesn't get the pass off.
Arsenal, if you go with that formation, because I've seen a lot of people call for that formation, how do we protect Trent? Because Thiago doesn't like to be tracking back and doing like the chasing back. So if Trent gets in a position where he was in the first leg, where he was a 2-1, how's he? Where, you know, that's my concern with either formation, where it's 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3, is how do you protect Trent? Because, you know, Vinicius Junior and Mendy are going to be running at him to ensure that he's not left in a 2-1 situation.
All right, great question for home. what I would do probably for the first half is play Mane right wing and have him track back and play Jota left wing and then play Salah through the middle. And again, I get where you guys are coming from, where you say you think we need an early goal. I actually don't think we do. I think the Barcelona game, we need an early goal because we needed four goals to go through. Theoretically, we need a 2-0 win. Now, again, whether we keep a clean sheet or not is another story. The more goals Real Madrid score, the more we have to score. But I think as long as we don't concede in the first half, I think, and we can get a goal in the second half, sort of before the 70th minute, I still think we'd be okay. I think we can definitely get two goals in one half. We did against Villa and no Real Madrid, but we can do it. It's not beyond the realms of possibility, but for your question, Rahome, yes, to protect Trent for that first half, I would go Mane right wing and Jota left wing and Salah through the middle.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up too. I was reading an article, I think it was on the Athletic, and they were doing some analyzation of the game of the first leg, and actually Casemiro was moving further forward in the midfield very often and throughout that game, and Kroos was kind of sliding back, and Modric was just drifting about. So I agree with you, actually. If I think that's the one outcome that, or the one result that we could see with the utilization of a 4-2-3-1. Bobby's the best presser that I think we have on Liverpool, especially within the front three or front four. So if he can just stay on top of Toni Kroos, that seriously, seriously limits their distribution to their flanks. You know, we saw how great he was at switching the ball, finding passing lines through the midfield and through the press. Bobby can just kind of stay on him and constantly pressure him. He's not going to like that. Real Madrid's not going to like that. And we'll ultimately see the success of that. So that's actually a really good point. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I would like, I see, for some reason, I disagree with most people when it comes to the 4-2-3-1. I don't think that we're going to lose that much defensively if you go to a 4-2-3-1 formation. Like, just because then you have two, you know, you have that double pivot back there who most of the time are just going to stay back there. You know, I think in this game, we probably see Thiago with a little bit more freedom to get forward because we need to get that goal. But then, like you said, then you would have Firmino as the 10, like you said, best presser on the team. Sadio Mane, who does a very good job at tracking back. And we've seen Jota be exceptionally well at tracking back and pressing as well. And this just allows Salah to do what Salah does best and just wait for the balls to come into him and just use all of his energy to chase those down. And he's going to be the most forward guy. And he's the guy that you're going to want in that position to try and score goals. So when I think about the 4-2-3-1, I really don't think – like, I understand, like, you know, in the midfield, they could pass around this, but they passed – they passed around this in the first leg when we played a 4-3-3. So it's like, you know what I mean? You got to try something to change it up. And I think if you go with those four guys, yes, you are going to be missing that piece on who can come in and change the game in the second half if you need to chase a goal. But that for me is a safer play than, you know, starting a Naby Keita who hasn't played a game in 6 weeks or whatever the hell it was and coming in and expecting him to make an impact. Like, I just think that would show ambition. I think that shows belief in this team. And I also think it, you know, that allows Trent to get a little bit more dangerous going forwards, knowing that he has that double pivot to slide in right there, right away. And in the first half, that happened numerous, numerous times. Every single time Trent got forward, almost every single time, they attacked his side right away before he could get back. So I think almost having a double pivot would help cover us a little bit more in that position. So
I want to get to a few things in the chat. JG said they're going to be playing Zidane tactics more than their players this leg, in my opinion. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good shout. I mean, his tactics were spot on in the first leg, so I guess we'll see what happens in the second leg. Steven Stubbs said that we face Barcelona with a front three of Mane, Origi, and Shaqiri. And a lot of people forget that. It's a good reminder right there. But anything's possible up the reg. But Anthony Metza, I thought, had a really, really good point here. And this has been talked about a lot. He said this is a game that you should not concede. So would you feel comfortable with Fabinho returning in defense, center back, so as to keep an attacking team, but ensure a clean sheet as Madrid has been scoring for fun lately? I mean, that's maybe where you get the nod for James Milner in the midfield with Genie Wijnaldum. I mean, what are you guys' thoughts on that? I thought that's a very interesting take.
It is an interesting take. I thought about it, but I don't care about the first leg performance. Everyone on the team played bad. I still believe Fabinho is the best number six in the world, and I just don't think you can take him out of that position. Like, outside of the Real Madrid game, as of late, this playing natural center back has worked for us. And like, we know what our identity is. We're a better team when Fabinho's in the six, in my opinion. I don't think you can get away from that. I think that would be a symbol of getting too cute again, like starting Naby Keita last game, something like that.
Well, yeah. What do you think about this? Because you've been very critical of Kabak and Phillips.
I'm critical not, you know, what people misunderstood me. What I've said about Kabak and Phillips is, look, we can't change it right now in terms of what we have. You know, we have to play them. But I've been critical saying the summer, we need to change it, and we can't go with them in the summer. But with either of them, I think we can't go with them, either of them. But for the time being now, we've got no choice. Now, obviously for me as well, although I've been critical of them, I would still have them as a centre-backs, because I think, like, if you take Fabinho out midfield, there's no one that midfield tackles that does any recoveries or wins the ball back, you know. And we've seen massively when Fabinho's gone in there, he's the only one that actually properly tackles, recoveries, intercepts properly, you know, and actually makes us more look stronger. So I would still keep Kabak and Phillips for this game. I think it's just, as a team, we have to defend better. Because I don't think, particularly in that first leg or even against Villa, did the midfield really protect the centre, the defence, as much as they should do. I think they were very poor in their positional and in their running against trackers in terms of tracking back for players. So I think we still have to keep them. That same formation of Felix Kabak for being in the middle. So I would not move Fabinho out of midfield. I think that'd be a massive mistake if you move him out, because Madrid, again, they're going to control the midfield because no one in there tackled him.
So, sorry to interrupt you guys. Wyoming, would you not keep Kabak or Phillips after this summer if it was up to you? Oh, I feel like I've opened a can of worms.
You start laughing. I get attacked.
We've had some serious debate.
Personally, I think Phillips, as good as he's done as heading wise, I think I would sell him in the summer and get money for him, because I feel like I want. And then with Kabak, I get people say he's 20, but a lot of the concerns Kabak showed right now is what he showed at Schalke. And I think Kabak is just a smaller version of Lovren, you know. And people keep saying, obviously, the fact that when Van Dijk comes back, Kabak's going to be amazing playing Van Dijk next to him. But Lovren was still poor next to Van Dijk. He still made howlers, still was shocking next to Van Dijk. Moreno had Van Dijk next to him. He was still shocking next to Van Dijk. So true. I don't buy it just all of a sudden because you have Van Dijk, who's world-class, that they're going to be amazing next to him. I personally think that I would prefer... It depends on how much we get for Kabak. If it's the reduced prices, as people are saying, like 8 million or something, then fair enough. If it's 18 million for Kabak, I would prefer not to buy him, and I'd prefer to go after Konate and go after Kurt Akar or one of those, someone, or the guy from Braga, centre back.
Karma,
yeah. Go after them and get two good quality. Because look at Madrid, they've got four good defenders. Yeah. And I think there's no reason why Liverpool can't have that.
Just play devil's advocate if you were home.
Wait, before you do,
I'm
curious. How do you think Kabak performed in that first leg? Because the whole team was poor, yes. But how did you? I think you in the player ratings you had given him a 4 or 5.
I did. So I think at the time I thought he played really bad, and then after I watched the game back, and I think I even on the next show said I was completely wrong. He wasn't as bad as I thought he was.
Exactly.
I think, and again, this is why I make a point of, I always try and watch the game back after this happened, because I'm less emotional. Correct. Like, if I'm watching the game, I'm so emotionally invested that I'm not thinking logically. When I watch it back, I can sit back and I know what's happened and I can analyze it better. But when it comes to the centre-back situation, the reason I think I'd keep Kabak, and because I want five recognised centre-backs going into next season. No two ways about it. Gomez and Virgil hopefully come back. Phillips to be the fifth choice. Kabak potentially fourth choice. And then we go and get someone. Now, don't get me wrong. I live in the clouds sometimes. I want Varane. That's who I really want. If Real Madrid looking to sell him or he doesn't want to stay there, that's who I want. But if you said to me you can get Varane and instead of Kabak you could get Konate as well, then yes, I would do it. But I just don't think it would be realistic for what we're trying to do in the summer. If we only had to buy two centre-backs this summer, then I'd be looking at two high-caliber quality centre-backs. But I don't think we can do it. I think we can only go after one, and I think Kabak would be the fourth choice and then Phillips would be fifth.
I agree with that. So you sell Joel Matip.
I love Joel Matip. He's actually my second favorite centre back, but I think his time's up now. I think his body's failing him, which is such a shame because when he plays, he's world class.
Yes.
I see what you're saying. Of course, if we have no choice, we can't afford to buy another centre back too, then yeah, but I don't think we should be in a position this summer where we have to be in that situation. We should be able to
afford. Oh, I fully agree with that.
We should be able to, because even like what Kaleta Carr was, we nearly signed for 24 million and until the transfer fell through.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Kaleta Carr, you know. No, I'm not. I mean, I even watched his last game, he got sent off, and I was just like, oh, that was very rash what you just did there. I don't want that Klopp, I don't want that Liverpool. We've seen rash, we had Lovren, I don't want rash anymore. I'm done with it. My heart can't take rash anymore.
To be fair, though, Kabak did spit at a player before he joined Liverpool. So we've all kind of done something.
We've all got a past. You're right.
Yeah.
Who is the name you mentioned were home?
Botman.
All right. So I think Botman is, again, I'm probably going to get slaughtered for this. Botman looks a lot like Vidic to me. Mm. Looks very imposing. Looks like he can physically dominate. But unless he's next to a refined centre-back, I don't know if he's that guy. I might have him completely wrong, but I just think... And don't get me wrong, if he's signs for Liverpool, he's going to be next to Van Dijk, which is as refined as it gets. It's just that...
They're coming for me.
They're all coming for Wahome, man.
Yeah, they'll cover me.
I'm not fully sold on Botman.
Fair enough. I think you're probably right anyhow. I think it will be just we'll keep Kabak because I don't think we're going to have the funds to sign anyone else.
And that's where my gripe is with Liverpool right now.
Yeah, and that's why they're going to. That's what we're saying. The rumors of us getting the fee lower because that's what we're going to do Kabak and Konate. So if that is look, if Kabak signs, we keep him. Then obviously I've got his full my support. But just my old preference going forward, I feel that I prefer to get two new centre backs. But if that's not going to happen, then. And it's Kabak or no one, then keep Kabak because like I said he's 20. Who knows? Even Lovren wasn't as bad as people make out to be. There were still games where he played good, even though he wasn't good enough overall. There were still some games he played well.
You can't compare him to Lovren. Lovren was in his prime when he came to Liverpool, so like, he couldn't really get much better. Like we say all the time that Trent's 21, he's just only going to get better. Quebec's 20, so he's going to get better as well. But I'm not going to continue this conversation. We could go on forever.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's going to get hostile in here in a minute. kind of reeling it back in here, going back to this upcoming match tomorrow. You know, obviously, I think somebody in the chat here too, it might have been Anthony again, making another great point. Where was it? Yeah, right here, Anthony, right here. With more injuries to Real Madrid in the form of Valverde and Lucas Vasquez, does it have any psychological effect to Liverpool? And when you think about it now, with no Vasquez, like it's going to be, if Valverde is available, he'll be in there. Militao, Nacho, Mendy, probably Marcelo, Modric, Casemiro, Cruz, Benzema. Where's the weakness? How would you guys go about attacking this team? Like, what's the strategy here? What do you think, Alan?
I think you've just got to be really in their face. You've almost got to not try and plan it too much. You've got to just let the players express themselves, in my opinion. Just not be reckless. So I'm not saying the whole team attacks, but obviously I've gone with a front four. If you're playing a front four, just let them go out and express themselves. Don't try and be too tactically cute. Just say, look, you guys are great footballers. when you guys are on fire, there's no one that can deal with you in world football. There is no defense that can deal with you. Go out and show them what you're about. Don't try and be too cute. Stop trying to score the perfect goal as well. Like, that winds me up. We're not Arsenal of 2003, 2004. Just stop. Like, if you're in the box, take a shot. Because if it look at Robbo's goal. Sorry, Salah's goal against Aston Villa. That was a Robbo shot. Keeper saved it and it drops on Salah's head. You never know what can happen in the box. So let's not try and score the perfect goal. Let's get in their faces. Let's take shots early. Let's take shots when we can. And just express yourself. Go and enjoy it.
Yes.
I completely agree, too, because the one thing I said leading up into the first leg was, I know Courtois has been good in La Liga, but when he was in the Prem, he could not hold on to a ball to save his life. So take the shots when you have them. I don't care if you're outside the box or whatever. Let's test this guy and see what he can do. But go ahead, Andrew. I'm going to cut you off.
Yeah, no, I just think that we really need to get on the front foot early. One thing that we didn't do much of, and mainly it came in the second half for about 10 minutes and then another 10 minutes towards the end of the half, but already end of the game. But we need to force Real Madrid to defend. You know, Luka Modric, Toni Kroos, these guys aren't the best defenders. They're used to having the ball at their feet and moving and attacking forward. So if we can just put them on the back foot, on their heels early on, just really force the pressure. And I know there's no stands at Anfield, but it's a proper stadium. You know, it's going to engulf the Real Madrid players in a sense. And I think there actually might be fans outside the stadium. And hopefully they'll be making a ruckus. But I think that's the key for me. You just need to keep them in their half. And if we can do that over the course of 45 minutes, 90 minutes, I know that the goals will come. At least shots will come, which is more than we can say for the first half of the first leg. So that's where it needs to start. It needs to start in the first 15 to 20 minutes. Has to.
I think obviously the weakness is going to be down that Valverde's side. If he starts, I don't think they're going to play Martial. I think they're saying that it's going to be Valverde. It's down his side. You know, I think obviously the first leg, Mane didn't trouble Vasquez at all. And Vasquez isn't a fullback. You know, he's more of a winger, a midfielder. So I was surprised at how Vasquez just pocketed Mane that game. So I think this time, if we do like what Callum says, put Mane in the right, then get Jota, tell him, look, get out Valverde. He's a right winger playing at fullback, so he's not going to have that defensive, you know, aspect in terms of his game. Get at him, you know, make him do some defending, you know, and actually, you know, stretch. The one time we did stretch, we scored. So actually stretch their defence, you know, because, you know, as I said, it's a good defence. You know, Nacho and Militao are good, but they kind of got at, you know, and I think that's where we didn't do enough of. We didn't, like Zane says, we didn't test the defence properly. You know, except for that one time, we didn't really make Madrid feel that they were in the game. It felt like a training game sometimes for Madrid in terms of how they, you know, how easy it was for them to just pass the ball around. So I think for us, it's just, you know, get at that side of the defence where it's weak and get some crosses in the box, you know, and I think that's going to be key. That's the weak side. You know, get down there, you know, and make something happen from that side.
Yeah, I think it's interesting though. I mean, we all agree that needs to happen. But when we think back to the first leg, I've heard a lot of people say that Liverpool have respected Madrid too much. And like personally, I thought it was more the other way. I thought that we went into it not respecting them enough, and then that's when we got hit in the mouth. Like, what do you guys think? I mean, do you think it was the case of like we played so bad because we gave them too much respect, or you know, what happened?
I don't think I thought of it like that, but now you say it, it does sort of make sense. It's like it's like a boxer who goes in there and doesn't respect the opponent's power and then ends up getting knocked out, isn't it? It's like if you go in there, you respect your opponent's power, the likelihood is you might still get knocked out, obviously, but you're going to try and protect yourself at least. And we just didn't do that. Like the first goal, I've not been as annoyed about conceding a goal as I was for that first goal in a long time. Like Toni Kroos had the ball at his feet. There was no pressure. He did about four hand gestures to say, I'm going to play it there. Now I'm going to play it. I'm going to go. You ready now? Let's go. No one did anything about it. No one reacted. And then it's just like, guys, we could see it from the TV what he was going to do. Like we knew Vinicius was the pass he was going to make. Where he was going to play it, that's obviously up to Toni Kroos. But you knew he was gonna try and pass it long. Someone's got to at least try and put a tackle in or do something. The defense has got to maybe step back. Alisson's maybe got to come out and close up the space. but no one reacted because I think you're probably right. When I'll be honest again, when I heard Varane was injured, had COVID and couldn't play, my levels of arrogance went through the roof. I'm not even going to lie. I'm mad enough to admit. Like, I was like, yeah, this is it. I was like, no Varane against us. Yeah, that's it. We're done. We'll wrap up this first leg. We'll just play the kids in the second leg. And then at half time, I was sitting there thinking, you don't learn, do you, Callum? You don't learn, do you? And it's like, I needed that. And I think Liverpool probably needed that as well, because there's no doubts that when they saw Varane, no Ramos as well, like no right back, no yeah. Carvajal, like you're thinking, yeah, they're there for the taking. Like their front three, apart from Benzema, has been pretty poor all season. You're thinking, yep, yeah, this is it. We're going to deal with these lot. And then 45 minutes later, you're going in 2-0 down. So if the boys aren't sort of giving a kick up the backside after that first half and the rest of that game, then nothing will.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting too that what Zane here said, she said, one thing I did notice, the ball went out the pitch many times from our passes, might be because the pitch is smaller. And then Mick kind of echoed that sentiment and said to play on a training pitch was bizarre. We just gave them way too much respect. Needs to change tomorrow. I mean, even on this show, Wahomie, Steven, and I all had a debate as to who the better midfield was, Fabinho, Thiago, and Gini, or Cruz, Casemiro, and Modric. And I think that clearly they gave us the answer. Like, Real Madrid midfield is still world class. They're the Galacticos for a reason. They've won the Champions League, 13 times, 14 times. These guys are the Champions League darlings. They belong here. They'll always be here. Similar to us. But I think we just, like Callum said, like a boxer going into a fight and, you know, underestimating his opponent. I think we definitely did that. And I think the key for me is Sadio Mane in this game. I think that if he, I guess Jota too, because Jota didn't show up at all. He had the worst passing percentage on the whole pitch. So if either of them can show up front, put some shots on target, make things happen, then I think we'll see a very different Liverpool team going into this second leg.
I think the big thing about the passing was Thiago wasn't the pitch. He's the only one that keeps the ball well, recycles the ball really well. And having him not on the pitch was, for me, suicide in that first leg because, you know, especially away from home, you need to keep the ball. And you need someone that's going to recycle the ball. And him not being there meant that, you know, you saw in the second half, although we didn't play amazing in the second half, but when he came on, we looked better, much better team. We kept the ball for a bit. And then obviously we scored after him coming on. So I think him being there, because he was bought for these big nights to keep the ball. I agree. Obviously, I was overhyped, overgassed over, you know, the lineup and over how good our players were. I still think if you had Henderson in that game, for example, I think our midfield would have played much better, for example, you know. But we were taught a lesson. And I think we've been taught lessons before in terms of keeping the ball, you know. So I think in that game the press was missing. You know, if you're going to play a high line, you've got to be good in pressing. And we've just been poor in pressing. So I'm hoping that we see the press come back and that there's that hunger. But it's going to be interesting to see, you know, who Klopp picks for that midfield. Or what lineup he goes, because I just can't see Gini not playing this game. Gini's his tried and tested go-to player. And as much as I would love to see Fabinho, Thiago midfield, I just don't see Gini not playing. Because even when I think about the Barcelona game where he didn't play, I can't remember why Gini was dropped for that game.
We just went with Milner in midfield.
Yes, Timo Milner. Yes.
Because he played the first game, but he played as a false nine in the first game at the Nou Camp.
Mm. That's right.
Which was weird. That was a weird one.
Yeah. Almost as weird as Ox in the false nine.
Yeah.
That was an interesting one. I mean, we got a lot of comments here on you know, lineups and that sort of thing. JG midfield needs to step it up. I agree. It made no sense why Thiago didn't start last match. These are the matches of why we signed him in the first place, was to bring control and order into this, and this made absolutely no sense at all. Zane, you know, she'd rather not see Genie. Last games have been really bad. Now recently he hasn't been at his best. I would say at the beginning of the season, he was probably one of our best players. Definitely relied on him a lot. Anthony, good question here. He keeps firing off. Lipstick fan here. Jeez. What's the story with Curtis Jones? Don't think he's put a foot wrong, but hasn't been playing in a long time. Like, do you think that he's a guy that can maybe get a look tomorrow?
Is he injured, though?
He was at the weekend. It was a precautionary injury. But I don't know if he'll be in the squad or not tomorrow. But he was injured at the weekend.
Well, Callum, we had this conversation last week on your pod about Alisson. You know, he's been immense for you. So
that's meant to be thoughts on Alisson and not what's actually written.
I hope so. Yeah. what are your thoughts on Alisson's performances? Because he has made some incredible saves, but then we've also seen him, you know, make a few errors, especially lately. So. I mean, I think we can all agree that we need a different backup than Adrian. I'd actually be pretty comfortable with Kelleher being the number two. I think he's stepped up well. But I mean, what are you guys' thoughts on Alisson? I mean, he needs to have a big game tomorrow regardless.
Yeah, it's so Alisson's a tough one for me because I genuinely, and I'm not just saying because he's a Liverpool player, I think he's the best goalkeeper in the world. I think some other goalkeepers have better attributes in some areas, but I think as an overall complete goalkeeper, I think he's the best. But like the rest of the team this season, he's not shown he's the best. I think he's had some very isolated moments where you're just like, that's not the Alisson we're used to. Like, for example, the Aston Villa goal, he should be saving that all day, and he didn't. I think going into this game, he knows he has to have a fantastic performance. So it's either going to be he pulls one out of the bag or he kind of half capitulates. I don't think there's going to be any grey area here. But if we're going to progress, we need him to have a brilliant game. There's no two, because we are going to face shots and chances. There's no way we can play this Real Madrid team and not concede any shots and chances.
Andrew, Holman, anything to add to that? I mean, I pretty much agree with that assessment, but...
Yeah. I was just going to say that how I get obviously people saying obviously you know the passing of his father hurt his form, but then he was poor before that as well in the games because you know in the Man City game was before his father passed, so and he was poor in that game. So I think the weird thing is, you know, last year we were saying if we had Alisson against Atletico, we go through to the semi final and we go on to probably win that we go on and win the Champions League. I think we'd have been in the buying team if we'd gotten to that final. But this year now we're saying, okay, we have Alisson, but is he going to perform against Madrid? Is he going to do another flop kind of thing like he did in the last game where we can't have him, can't afford that? You know, because obviously if we'd gone into this game 2-1 up, we'd feel much more confident in terms of comeback. But, you know, obviously Alisson made that mistake. It was a simple save. He should have saved in the Bernabeu. And we shouldn't be going into this game 3-1 down, call it that. I just hope, like I said before, that you know the whole team have a conversation and they talk about how big this game is. You know how we all need, everyone needs, you know, to pull out a 7-8-9 performance tomorrow, and you know bring their A game, because like I said, Callum said we're not going to go through without Madrid saving shots. I'm not saying we want to be in a situation where Alisson's making 10 or 9 saves in the game, like he did against Barcelona for Roma a few years back. Yeah. But we want to be in a situation where if we do face 3 or 4 shots, Alisson's on point making saves like how he used to be. You know, that's how we want to be. So I just hope that he has a big game tomorrow.
I just want to add, this might be a hot take, but I am just I'm just so sick of this fan base always looking for a scapegoat. I'm just absolutely sick of it. Yeah, fine. Give me the hot take. It's fine. People are always coming at Genie Wijnaldum, who's arguably been our most consistent and best performer this year. People are now coming at Sadio Mane. Yeah, he's had a tough year as well. And now they're coming at Alisson Becker, all of which are, you know, I mean, Gini, you could argue is a great midfielder throughout the world. Sadio Mane was voted by Lionel Messi for the Ballon d'Or, I think it was 2 years ago. And Alisson Becker was in the UEFA team of the season, I think it was last year or the year before. All these guys are world-class players. We have world-class, yeah, they have a dip in form, but Gini Wijnaldum, for me, has been one of the most consistent players on the team. He's been always available. People always shouting that Naby Keita did a start over him. Well, we saw what that happened against Real Madrid. He didn't perform up to his level. Alisson Becker, yeah, maybe he's having a slight dip in form, but he's still one of the at least the top three best goalkeepers in the world. I completely back him to perform in this game. And the same thing goes for Sadio Mane. I think Sadio Mane, you know, I looked at some stats on The Athletic earlier, a piece by James Pierce. A lot of what he's doing this season, he was doing very similarly last season. The only thing that's different is his conversion ratio. So he just needs one or two goals to go in, and he's back to Sadio Mane. So I just hate how we always need a scapegoat, and we're kind of like preparing ourselves to have a scapegoat after the game of Real Madrid. No, take the opportunity. Let's go. Like, let's be optimistic. Fuck. Like, it's okay. I love
it. I'll echo frustrated. All right. Just to say, I'm not scapegoating. I'm just highlighting.
I'm not blaming you guys.
Yeah. I'm just highlighting where they haven't performed to the usual standards, and we expect better from them. And we know they can play much better. You know, we know Gini, Alisson, Mane are all top class players, and they can play better. Not even them, just the whole team is full of top class players. So it's more the case of we know they can play better, and we're hoping they can play better. Because as I said, if they can't rise up to tomorrow night for a big Champions League match, then that's a concern in terms of, you know, where's the mentality, giants, monsters mentality gone?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, but I mean, there's been a lot of questions on the lineup. So before Callum hops off here, I want to get to our lineup predictions for the match tomorrow. Callum, let's start with you, man. So give us your thought. I want to hear from everybody what you want the lineup to be, and then ultimately what you think the lineup's going to be. So what you want, and then what Klopp's going to go with.
I think the back five picks itself. So Ali in goal, Trent, Robbo in fullback positions, and then Kabak and Phillips. Okay, so midfield, what I'd want is Thiago and Fabinho as a double pivot, Bobby in a 10, and then Jota, Salah, and Mane up top. I think Klopp will go with Fabinho, Gini, and Thiago to start. And I think he'll go Jota, Fabinho, and Salah.
No Mane.
I don't think he'll start Mane.
Awesome. Yeah, if you guys haven't yet, hit that like and subscribe button. Go check out Kopish. If you're not one of their 21,000 subscribers yet, go join the column. They're blowing up over there, doing great work. Andrew, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, my lineup would be very similar to Callum's. I would likely go with a 4-3-3 with Fabinho. That's tough. I think I would start Firmino. I would bench Mane and go with Jota and Salah up front. I'd go with the same back five. And I think he's just going to go with Fabinho, Gini, and Thiago in the midfield. He's very conservative in big games. He's going to go with his, like we've said it before, Wahomi and I and Steven, that he's going to go with his most trusted lieutenants, and those are the guys. I would like to see Milner in this game, I think. I mean, maybe it's too big for him. Maybe the midfield of Modric and Kroos are too much for him. But we need some leadership qualities in there if we want to push this over the edge. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, nobody knows. Only a god or a liar knows for sure. So,
sorry, I'm laughing at Danny in the comments. He made some posts. He said a few funny things.
Our trip to the left wing.
He was a six-star and curious in that. That sounds like a Champions League lineup to me right there. Well, homie, what do you think?
For me, I would like Alisson, Trent, Kabak, Phillips, Robbo, obviously usual back five. Then I think I would probably go with the 4-2-3-1 if I was pushing my gut. So I would probably go with Fabinho, Thiago, and then the rest, Bobby, Salah, Jota, all playing. And then the second half, I'd probably, if we get a 2-0, because I'm going for the early goals. So if we go up early on, then I'd probably take off Mane at some point for Milner, just to see the game out for some leadership. Sure. What I think Klopp will go for is 4-3-3, as he always does. And he'll do the usual back five. Then he'll play Fabinho, Gini, Thiago. And then I think he'll play Bobby, Jota, and Salah and put Mane on the bench.
Okay. Mine's a little bit different. I agree with the 4-2-3-1. That's what I want to see. I want to see Fabinho, the usual back five, Fabinho, Thiago, and then, yeah, the front four, Salah, Mane, Jota, Firmino. But I think Klopp's going to do the 4-3-3, same back five. And then my midfield, I think Klopp would go with would be Fabinho, Thiago, Milner. Have Gini Wijnaldum, late sub, magic, just like Barcelona. And then I think it would be the usual front three, Salah, Mane, Firmino, Jota coming off the bench. That way you have the injection of energy. If you're chasing one more goal, you can bring on a guy who can, you know, hopefully that team would just run them into the ground, make them really tired, be able to bring on Jota and just have his energy all over the place. So, Callum, before you hop off, man, official prediction. What do you think? Are you daring the dream?
I'm going to go 2-1 on the night.
Yeah, how was that? Going,
I do. I think I want to be proven wrong. I think we've left ourselves slightly too much to do in this time. I think 2-1 on the night. Unfortunately, Real Madrid will go through, in my opinion. But I really hope I'm wrong. I'd love to come back on here if I am wrong and you guys just rip me for an hour. Like, I'd love that. I think it's a lot to ask to keep a clean sheet as two clear goals.
What did you predict before the Barcelona game, second leg?
God's honest. Yeah. I predicted we'd go through.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. And I remember, because my barber's a Liverpool fan. And he said to me, he's like, it's over, isn't it? And I was like, no, I don't think it is. And he was just like, oh, you're one of those deluded fans. Should I tell you what it was in that first game with Barca? 3-0 really flattered them. We should have actually scored about four goals ourselves in that game.
Yep.
And I just looked at that game and I was like, they've won 3-0 playing at their peak and we didn't have any luck on the night. I think we'll still go through. And I don't get that feeling with this game. Madrid now to play in the Champions League. They're now to navigate this competition, man. Okay. Sorry, guys. I'm leaving on a really bad note. No, no. I love you all. Hey, get out of
here. My prediction was also going to be 2-1. So
okay.
I agree. I think it's going to be one of those games where, you know, it's going to go to the final minute. And it's just something, I don't know. I just got that vibe. It's going to be 2-1. We're going to play our asses off. I think we're definitely going to dominate the game. But something's going to happen. I don't know. We'll see. But Andrew, a homie, hopefully a little bit more positivity from either one of you guys.
I'm going to guess your thing. Go ahead, Noga Hadji.
Yeah, I was actually going to go 2-0. I think that, I think we get the job done. I think we get a goal in the first 30 minutes. Get off the front foot early, and then I think it's a battle to get that second goal, which might come late, like past 80 minutes or something. I think it's going to be a classic Liverpool victory. But I'm an optimist, you know. I'm not scapegoating anybody. You know, you guys heard that whole rant. So come tomorrow. Hopefully I'm proven right.
I hope so.
Yeah, I was going to go the same 2-0 in the sense that
– Well, homie.
No. In the sense that I just have a feeling – I don't know, maybe this is guided, but I just have a feeling we might do it. In a sense, we have nothing to lose tomorrow. You know, so just have a feeling, you know, especially if we can't play as bad as we did in the first leg. That's what I'm going on. You know, that's my one hope. We can't play as bad as we did in the first leg. So we can only play better. So hopefully the players are up for it. You know, even though the fans aren't there, are up for it. And I think also pubs are open. So there's going to be fans around the Liverpool area. You know, so there might be fans who turn up for the game and, you know, you see like send flares off and stuff to welcome the players then. So they might still feel the buzz. And I think even like they'll still hear fans outside the stadium cheering and watching the game and stuff, you know. So that's what I'm going for. There will be some kind of buzz around the city. Might be misguided, but there will be some kind of.
I like it. All right. Change my prediction. 3-0 Liverpool. Let's go. But Cal, I know we gotta let you go, man. Thank you so much for hopping on with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Everyone in the chat, stay on. We're not done yet. But Cal, thank you again. The collaborations have been awesome. We'll definitely have to do some more going forward.
Definitely.
Yeah, if you don't follow Cal, they have a top-rated show. So check them out. They do great stuff over there.
Thank you. You guys are as well. Loving what you're doing. And yeah, I'll stay in contact. And yeah, we'll definitely do more of this.
Always.
Always. On as well.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. They definitely owe you one. So we'll all be on. We'll all be on. And, much love to you guys. Man. Take it easy, guys. Take care.
Thank you. All right, everyone. So just to kind of wrap up here. Now, we like to close out with some fun trivia questions here. So, kind of start things off. When I say, what is your favorite TV series out of the following shows? We have The Sopranos, Breaking Bad, Narcos, The Wire, and Game of Thrones. So, I'll start with Andrew because I know what his answer is going to be. Go ahead, Andrew.
By the way, feel free to add any other shows you like in there. But for me, the best show ever is Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad is the best show ever. It ended perfectly. It ended at the right time. The acting is phenomenal. You know, it's talking about meth, which is like a crazy thing here in the U.S. I don't know if it's like anywhere else in the world, but especially in the South. And it's just a very interesting take. Walter White is one of the coolest characters of all time. And the fact that the way he changes over the course of the show is just, it's mind blowing. So, I mean, if you haven't seen Breaking Bad, check it out. It's unbelievable.
For me, I'm going to go The Wire. I just love the whole storyline of The Wire. I love the characters, Stringer Bell, Avon. Breaking Bad was really good, but I was just more of a, I just love The Wire. I thought it was really, really good. And I just love the different storylines that intertwined in it. So, yeah, if you haven't watched, I know The Wire is a long show. I think it was like 6 or 7 seasons, but it's worth it if you watch
The Wire. The Wire is great.
Yeah, I agree. My vote is The Wire. Honestly, the same reasons that Andrew likes Breaking Bad. Some of the best acting. The ending is awesome to that show. Goes full circle, which is really cool. And it's one of those shows that, you know, there are some slow episodes, but for the most part, it's nonstop. It's really good. So it's gonna have to be The Wire for me.
Who's the character in The Wire who's he's kind of like the rebel? He's like not part of the gang, and he goes after the gang.
Omar.
Omar. I love Omar. He's the best. Omar is the king.
Yeah. No, you come out to king, you best not miss.
Right. Omar coming. Omar.
Yeah, he does that little whistle and everyone's like, oh, it's Omar. Get out of here. Start bolting out of there. Yeah. All right. What did you want to be as a kid?
I wanted to be an astronomer. I wanted to look at the stars all the time. I was obsessed with it. I used to love looking up at the sky and in wonder. We were so small, you know, just like trying to think about all that was mind-boggling to a 10-year-old, you know. So it was actually really cool when Steven and I were younger. We went over to New Mexico, and we went to this like little kind of like an Airbnb back in the day, and the guy had like telescopes and he was showing us all the constellations. And you know, in New Mexico, it's all desert, so you could see the sky, you could see the Milky Way. It was awesome. So that's when I really wanted to become an astronomer, and then I realized how difficult it is. So I was like, yeah, I got other dreams too. I'll go after them.
For me, I wanted to be like I was a big fan of Miami Vice, so I always wanted to be like like those cool cops running on the beach.
That's amazing.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, like the nice Hawaii kind of shirt. got the badge, running the beach, chasing after bad guys. Like, I love Miami Vice, kind of the whole kind of picture scene of it. So,
hey, Steven, realized... now if you want to go play cops and robbers with him.
But the problem for me is I realized that cops in London aren't as sexy, or it's not as good. No. And so I was like, yeah, I don't want to do it. But I would love to be in a Miami Vice cop.
Well, Andrew, Jay Gee agrees with it. He thinks the how the universe works is the shit. So,
hey, Jay Gee, I don't know if you listened to the Joe Rogan podcast. You should give it a listen if you do. But he had a recent guest on that he's a physicist that talks about all this kind of stuff, like string theory and everything. It's crazy. It'll make your head explode. So check that out if you want to like listen to something cool.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, what did I want to be growing up? Well, I couldn't be a Power Ranger. Definitely would have been a Power Ranger if I could have. So I would say probably, yeah, I had the cop thing going on. Once I got a little bit older, I really wanted to be an architect and design buildings. And then again, realized how much work that went into. So we ended up going a different direction. But yeah, I'd say when I was growing up, probably a cop. Yeah, I always just wanted to have a little, wear one of those little hats, have a badge. I thought that was a cool thing. It's not a cool thing. And then final one, if you're in a remote location and you can bring two footballers with you to play some footy with, who are you taking with you?
It's all time.
All time.
I mean, I have to go with Steven Gerrard. He's my favorite player of all time. Stevie G. And I don't know. I really like Thiago. Thiago seems like the absolute man. Probably Thiago. Virgil van Dijk. Virgil van Dijk's my favorite player. Yeah.
For me, because imagine the beach, and I was thinking about football. So I'm taking Ronaldinho, because I think he's just going to be amazing at tricks.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm taking Zidane as well.
It's the headbutt every motherfucker who walks by.
Get out of here.
Oh, God.
My two, it'd be Stevie G as well. And then probably Bobby Firmino. I would just, he'd just be so much fun. His little smiles, all his sellies. He could teach me some sellies. I'd be a lot of fun with Bobby, I think. So,
yeah, well, homie, not even picking one Liverpool player, picking a Real Madrid player, though.
And a Barcelona player.
So I want tricks. I want tricks.
That pretty much wraps this episode up. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to do the lineup analysis once that gets dropped. Maybe even sprinkle in a little watch along. Who knows? You have to keep an eye out for that. Make a little announcement around that tomorrow. But if you guys haven't yet, hit that like and subscribe button. We appreciate all the new people here. Danny DeRitos and Anthony, you guys were awesome. Thanks for coming in. JG, Chris Welch, Zane, we love you guys. Thank you so much for coming in. Steve Stubbs, you guys were all awesome. We really appreciate you guys. Mick as well.
We hit 300 subscribers too.
We hit 300 subscribers today. So we really, really appreciate you guys. We're on the road to 500, trying to hit 500 by the end of the year. Tell your friends. We really, really appreciate it. It helps us have awesome guests like Coppish, James Pierce, Robbo from the Anfield Rap, and much, much more. So thank you all you guys for loving our content. Thank you for checking it out. Please share it, like, and subscribe. But we'll be back tomorrow. A lot of shows coming our way, post-match reactions, lineup show, maybe even a watch-along. So keep an eye out for all the announcements on the official Twitter at Yanks of the Cop. But otherwise, let's hope for the massive, massive at least 2-goal win tomorrow so we can see us through. Up the Reds. We'll see you all tomorrow, everyone. Take care.
See you guys.
Up the Reds. See you guys.